Welcome to Today on Broadway for Thursday, September 29th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Stars James Marino.
James, I guess this is our last day together this week. Are you going to be okay by yourself tomorrow?
What, you're leaving me?
We've talked about this. I'm going to see the either Florida or Central Florida premiere of Rock of Ages from the Theater Works Florida at the Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts. I'm really excited, but whenever I leave you alone, I'm always nervous because I generally get really angry text messages halfway through the show or the movie that I'm seeing.
Well, you know, expect them tomorrow, and I want you to keep one eye open for Rob Johnston, one of our listeners who sees Rock of Ages everywhere.
Oh, Rob, if you're going to be there, let me know, and maybe we'll meet up afterwards.
For a Diet Pepsi?
Diet Coke. I don't drink Diet Pepsi. Jeez, how dare you?
You hardly know me.
I would rather drink battery acid.
All right, first up in the news, Garth Drabinsky's show Fine Stars.
I like how you just skipped over the name of the show. Yes, yesterday we discussed this a little bit from Michael Riedel's column, but later in the day, more details started to come out about the new Maltby and Shire musical Suzatska, based on based on the novel and the Shirley MacLaine film Madame Suzatska, which is being produced by financial fraudster Garth Drabinsky. According to Variety, after taking part in a summer reading, Tony winner Victoria Clark and nominee Montego Glover will reprise their roles in the Toronto production early next year, and that they would be joined by Tony winner Judy Kaye as well up north of the border. We also learned that the show's producers are already aiming for an October 2017 Broadway bow. I guess they're planning on this happening no matter how things go up north, and that Tony nominee Adrian Noble will direct, and 10-time Tony nominee Graciela Danielle will choreograph. So, James, I guess this is happening.
I'm telling you, if we read very closely into all the press releases about what is coming to Broadway, we could fill 40 times the theaters that we have. I think that everybody aims for Broadway, and they build it that way. That way,
sure,
People will join onto the production and get excited about it and things, and, you know, get in ground floor, get in early. Kind of like P.T. Barnum and Shysters and Snake Oil Salesman. And
Yeah, but I've got to get any show, first off, that's written by Maltby and Shire, yeah, has a little extra cred.
Yeah.
And then you throw in the likes of Victoria Clark, Montego Glover, Judy Kaye, a 10-time Tony nominee, Graciela Danielle is choreographing. I mean, this isn't just a bunch of, you know, people
I'm
who fell off
you,
the turnip truck.
These are
legit professionals.
Absolutely. And there were legit professionals in Ragtime and all the other Garth Drabinsky projects as well. He is very, very good at what he does.
But that at least came to Broadway. I just didn't think that after everything that had happened with his, you know, with Live Ents, you know, self-destruction, that he would be able to get people of this ilk to participate. And clearly, either he is one hell of a salesman, or this piece is really something special. So it may be a little bit of both, or maybe just theatrical people are more naturally willing to give second chances. But I'm just honestly a little surprised that it has gone even this far.
Well, I don't know how much you follow the technology field, although Steve Jobs is a little bit, you know, bigger than the technology field. But people talked about this reality distortion field whenever you were in Steve Jobs' presence. And they say that, too, about people like Bill Clinton, that you get in their presence and you are overwhelmed by this X factor that they have. And I've met Garth Drabinsky on a number of occasions, and he has got that thing. That thing where you get into his presence and you pretty much he's a very, very charming person.
Yeah, I remember I read a book by – this is way off topic, but I read a book back when I was in college by political communications director David Gergen, who had worked for Nixon and then Ford and then the first President Bush. And then he went and worked for President Clinton because he said you just got in a room with that guy and you were willing to do whatever he wanted you to do. So I guess maybe these brilliant, brilliant actresses, Victoria Clark, Montego Glover, Judy Kaye, see a great opportunity where in Garth Drabinski's orbit and you know, think that this is worth the risk. So I wish him nothing but the best, because I love all of those women, and I just am literally surprised that this is actually moving forward with such high quality talent attached.
Well, we'll have to see. All right, next up, big and small screen news.
Yeah, so yesterday there was a lot of TV and movie news that relates to theater. And first, James, you're hearing it here, Lin-Manuel Miranda is returning to Broadway. Well, not really. He's returning to a theater about 2.5 blocks away from Broadway, because on October 8th, Hamilton's main man will be the host, and I'm having a guess that he will probably be doing some rapping as well on NBC's Saturday Night Live over at 30 Rock. He will be joined by musical guest 21 Pilots. There was a lot of discussion online and on Twitter today, is that who was the last theater star to host Saturday Night Live? Not, you know, a movie star or a TV star who had done Broadway or maybe was even doing Broadway at the time, but who was the last theater star to host Saturday Night Live? A lot of people were coming up with Alan Cumming around the original production of Cabaret. But, I can't think of anybody else who would have been big enough from the theater world to do that. Can you, James?
Alec Baldwin?
Well, Alec Baldwin's not a theater star. I mean, he is, but he's a movie star who does theater.
You know,
theater.
Steve Martin, but, well, no.
Again.
In reverse.
Yes, but speaking of Alec Baldwin, also in Saturday Night Live news yesterday, the Tony nominee and occasional nut job Alec has been tapped to play Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump on SNL this fall. I think if anybody knows anything about Alec Baldwin, he is not so much a fan of Donald Trump. Yeah. He is a fairly liberal guy, so this should be a quite interesting portrayal. A lot of people were hoping Daryl Hammond would return to play him, but instead they've gone with a firebrand in and of himself, and that is Alec Baldwin. So that should be interesting. That should be quite an entertaining portrayal.
So, Republican David Mamet to direct movie adaptation of Speed the Plow.
Yeah, David Mamet has been wanting to turn this play about Hollywood movie making into an actual movie for a long time. Things, as we've heard and we've discussed on the show before, had started to move forward, and Michael Polish was originally set to direct, but apparently he has backed out. So David Mamet said, probably with a lot more profanity than I'm about to say it, screw it, I'm going to direct it myself. So David Mamet is going to direct the screenplay adaptation that he has written of his own stage work that is going to be scheduled to start shooting in February, and now he is working on finding a cast. James, speaking of firebrands and occasional nut jobs like we were with Alec Baldwin, as people will probably know, the original Broadway production of Speed the Plow starred Madonna, and the most recent West End revival starred Lindsay Lohan. So if David Mamet is true to form, we can expect a fairly big, splashy name to join this cast at some point here in the next few months.
Yeah, so we'll have to see what happens with that. We got to get Madonna back on Broadway now, don't we?
No, we do not. I'm just saying, I'm throwing out any Kardashian for the Speed the Plow movie. Any one of them. Just pick one.
Okay. Well, I'll get right on that for you. Meanwhile, so Jon Favreau is going to direct a live-action Lion King. Could I be Mustafa?
You could. You very well could. I don't know. And this is, just to be clear, this is Jon Favreau, the guy who directed the first two Iron Man movies. He directed the cinematic classic Cowboys and Aliens, as well as Chef. And probably most importantly for this discussion, Disney's recent live-ish adaptation of The Jungle Book. James, do you care to guess how much that film has pulled in at the box office so far?
Jungle Book?
Yes. The most recent one, not the original.
$100 million.
According to boxofficemojo.com, which is a site that I visit almost multiple times every day, it is now up to a worldwide box office total of $965 million and getting close to $966 million. So
I meant last weekend, $100 million last weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. This is approaching $1 billion. Obviously, when DVD sales are starting to factor in, it will far eclipse that. And this is why we are starting to see Disney take its intellectual property and repurpose them into live action films, because they have a built-in fan base and they do incredibly well here. But they also do incredibly well overseas. And Jon Favreau has had a great relationship with Disney over the years, first with his involvement in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and now with The Jungle Book. And I guess Lion King, if the Jungle Book is any indication, even though it's apparently live action, most of it's probably going to be CGI. The Jungle Book film starred an actual human boy. And then all of the animals, which looked as realistic as you could possibly imagine, were computer animated. So I'm imagining maybe we'll have realistic looking pride lands and then a bunch of, I don't know, computer generated animals running around. So I don't know, James. I'm interested to see how they do this and how much live action it actually is. But either way, I have a feeling it's going to make a crap ton of money.
Well, maybe if Disney is able to take their animated properties and go live action with them, perhaps maybe the Jersey Boys can go live action to animation, and it could be a Jersey Boys Saturday morning cartoon.
Do they still do Saturday morning cartoons? You've got kids.
No, I don't think they really do unless they play them at soccer. So,
yeah, that's
so Jersey Boys is going to be closing in London this spring. What's going on with Jersey Boys?
Well, you know, it just looks like it's that time. It's been only a few weeks since we learned that the original Broadway production of Jersey Boys will be closing in January. And yesterday we found out that the beloved Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons musical, which happens to be the West End's sixth longest running musical in history, would close on 17 March of 2017, making its run exactly 9 years after it opened on 18 March 2008. Quite a nice little run over there. In addition to that announcement, the UK's second national tour of Jersey Boys was announced to launch in December of 2017. James, even though these two big major productions of this musical are going to be closing in the fairly near future, I have a feeling that Jersey Boys is going to be one of those shows that just always seems to be around somewhere, whether it's a tour or big regional productions. I have a feeling that even if it doesn't have a home in New York or London, that it's just going to always be around. I don't think this show is going to be leaving our consciousness anytime soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. It's a show that's an audience pleaser. It's going to pop up in many subscription series. I know that a lot of regional and other types of collegiate theaters are very interested in doing Jersey Boys. So it's going to be off Broadway for a hiccup before we see it everywhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those shows that defied all expectations. I think a lot of people go into that show not expecting something as entertaining and as deep and as nuanced and as compelling as it is, and leave complete and utter converts. So I'm a big fan of seeing what the next chapter is for Jersey Boys, whether it's in the big theaters in London and New York or somewhere else around the country.
Next up, Bobby Lopez assisted on last night's South Park.
Yes, yeah, so Bobby Lopez, obviously, you know, one of the biggest names in musical theater, visited some of his Book of Mormon colleagues out west, Matt Parker and Trey Stone, to help write last night's episode of South Park. Now, if you are unfamiliar with how South Park works, this is a show that basically doesn't finish its episode until hours before it airs on Comedy Central, because so much of South Park's humor is focused on recent social, political news events. So they want it to be as current, as fresh as possible. So earlier yesterday, Bobby Lopez tweeted out, "I've been out in LA this week helping Matt and Trey write tonight's South Park episode. They never cease to amaze me. Tune in." There is apparently going to be a storyline in tonight or last night's episode. It's tonight because we're recording on Wednesday. Sorry to break that fourth wall there. But that has to do with Monday night's presidential debate. And if Bobby is involved, I think it's safe to assume that there will be some singing and a song. And James, I would bet dollars to donuts that Donald Trump might be singing. That's just my guess. I've seen some stills of the animation going around on Twitter. I'm going to guess that Donald Trump is going to be singing an all-new Lopez, Stone, and Parker song on South Park that by the time this episode airs will have aired the night before. I think that works.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll have to see if maybe there is a clip or something floating around tomorrow. We'll throw it in the show notes tomorrow.
South Park is very good about putting, and Comedy Central is very good about putting episodes online the night after the air, because it is such a a time sensitive storyline in a lot of ways. I, for one, as I've talked about on Sound Like a Pop, I've never actually watched a full episode of South Park in my life, but I consider South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut one of my top five favorite movies of all time. And I think we might have even talked about that on this show before. And so anytime that these guys delve into a musical world, I'm all in.
Next up, Submissions Only cast reunites for a campaign ad.
Yeah, James, were you a fan of the web series Submissions Only?
Of course.
Okay. I love that show, and I'm still angry that we have not gotten a fourth season. But yesterday, the cast that starred the original cast, Kate Weatherhead, who's one of the co-creators with Andrew Keenan Bolger, along with Colin Hanlon, Lindsay Nicole Chambers, Steven Bienski, Ann L. Nathan, Asmaret Gibber Michelle, Marilyn Sokol, Max von Essen, and a nice iPhone appearance by Santino Fontana, got together to do an ad that really emphasizes the importance of being registered to vote. And then not only being registered, but to vote for Hillary Rodham Clinton for president. They kind of shamed Kate Weatherhead's character into registering and then voting, even though she thought that her vote didn't matter. I love these characters, and I love this show. And they did say at the end that if Hillary wins, they might just make a fourth season. So I think if that's not enough incentive for every theater nerd out there to register and then to vote for HRC, I don't know what is, because there is nothing as fun and goofy as Submissions Only. So if I wasn't going to vote for Hillary already, I definitely am now.
I think probably the major problem with Submissions Only not having a fourth season is these people are so damn talented. They're so busy on other – I'm looking at the list here. Everybody's busy.
Yes, you're right. I mean, you've obviously got Santino Fontana. The reason he was only there in FaceTime is because he's shooting the TV show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend out in L.A. Kate Weatherhead and Andrew Keenan Bolger are, while they still collaborate on a lot of video stuff and movie stuff, they are now writing books together. We know Lindsay Nicole Chambers is doing an off-Broadway show right now. Asmaret Gibber Michelle is getting ready to do the Sweet Charity revival off-Broadway. Max von Essen is doing an American in Paris. This is an incredibly talented cast, and there was a reason that it became such an important part of the theatrical community early on when web series were just getting started.
All right, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. You can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt and subscribe to Some Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thank you so much for spending some of your Thursday with us, and we'll be back, or I'll be back, and talk to you tomorrow.
Good luck, James.